In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us begin by uniting our hearts in opening prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we have once again this day come before Thy holy and undying Word, we come here with many reasons of thanks, so many reasons that we cannot begin to number them. We also are here, dear Father, from many different situations in life. Remember us in our difficulties and trials. Remember us, dear Father. We simply ask this evening that you would continue to bless your services as you have done to this day. Grant words to speak and grant hearts that will receive that word. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We will read God's Word as it is recorded in the Gospel of Luke in its 18th chapter. We will read verses 31 through 43. And we hear these words in Jesus' name as follows. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he, crying, said, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight, and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Amen. When we study scriptures, especially the New Testament portion, and especially in these four Gospels, we can see when Jesus teaches and instructs those that are around Him, His disciples, the believers and unbelievers alike. He oftentimes used our physical parts to emphasize and to point out what He was trying to say, what the meaning was behind His message. We know that many times it speaks of our vision. In the scriptures also, it's recorded about our ears. And also our mouth and the food that we eat. And in those instances, there is oftentimes a physical and a spiritual meaning that He wishes to convey to maybe paint a little better, clearer picture of His message. The Bible speaks of spiritual blindness much more than it does of a physical blindness, of people that cannot see. And some of these portions where it speaks of blindness, it is not easily detected whether or not it is physical blindness or if it's spiritual blindness. Sometimes it is both. And my understanding from this portion that we read was that it speaks of both physical and spiritual blindness. Jesus also speaks of blind people very direct and He does not spare words to identify them as who they are. We remember how He speaks of the Pharisees, that they are as blind guides to those that that believed and listened to the Pharisees and their teaching. But we know that the Pharisees did not have the Holy Spirit which to lean upon and which would open the Word unto the hearer. There are many times when we listen to a sermon that the speaker brother is speaking of something, and even though he cannot even convey the thoughts that he has, the listener receives that word and it is open to them in different ways by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes those things are hidden from us until something may happen to us. Maybe we have experienced something. And then we take parts from what we need. And it opens to us in a very special and personal way. One of the first sermons, if you will, that is recorded in Luke actually, one of the first words of Jesus is when he went into the wilderness and he was tempted by the devil, and he spoke three short sentences with the devil. And after that, when Jesus began his public ministry, he came to the city of Nazareth, to the synagogue, and he spoke. And there he was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And this is what Jesus spoke. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then Jesus closed the book. And he gave it to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So the very this sermon that Jesus gave, Jesus points out the reasons why he came to this earth, what his purpose was, to help the brokenhearted, to heal them, and to preach the forgiveness of sins to those that desire it. And then it says, and recovering of sight to the blind. When we recover something, to me, it means that we have once had it, and we are out to try to get it again. You recover what once was. In a very childlike way, I think of this in this way, that every person, as we know from the scriptures, every person that is born to this earth, they are born as believers. And then many, in fact, most, they lose that and they begin to follow the desire of their flesh and the sermon of Satan. So Jesus here is saying that he is recovering the sight to the blind, that at one time they were believers when they were little children. And he is here, or he was there then at that time, to preach the good tidings of Christ, of God, from the kingdom of God, so that they would be able to receive and recover that which they once had. When we are in spiritual blindness, if we would be in that state, and maybe there is some of you that are here that have repented from the world, you were in spiritual blindness while you were in unbelief. And many, many days, weeks, months, and perhaps even years went by where not too much thought was put into everlasting life. What will happen when I die? But when you received the forgiveness of sins, amazingly, your eyes were opened to how important it is to adhere to God's Word. In spiritual blindness, they cannot see truthfully how much in need they are of God. And I'm sure that all of you, all of us that are here, every child of God would say that we recognize that we are feeble, poor, and weak, and we need God. We are very little, not only in this town, in this country, on this world, but in God's creation, we are little. But regardless of how little we are and how little we feel, we are important enough to God that He personally remembers each and every one. Has been many times mentioned how He knows. He can number the hairs on your head. And we know that that fluctuates on a daily basis. Some have more, some lose more, some lose less. But God always knows how many are there. God will never forget us. In our text, Jesus is going to Jerusalem and He meets this man who is blind. Then He took unto Him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem. This phrase, or this saying, that we are going to Jerusalem, we are continuing our way to Jerusalem, is mentioned many, many times in the Bible to the disciples and to those that are around Jesus. Jesus, many times, even in this Gospel of Luke alone, 3-4 times he mentions to them that let's continue to go to Jerusalem. Why, one could wonder, why is it that Jesus told them this so many times? Part of the reason is that that's why He came here. That was His final duty as a man walking upon this earth, was to go to Jerusalem and to be crucified and to die for our sins. In this way, He had fulfilled God's will as He said on the cross that all is fulfilled. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Jesus knew Scriptures well. And we just read a portion that Jesus spoke from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. He knew the Scriptures, and He knew what was ahead of Him. He knew what would happen to Him. And then Jesus explains to the disciples, For He, speaking of Himself, shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge Him and put Him to death, and the third day He shall rise again. These are, as we look at those words, those are very gruesome details of the life of Jesus that happened. But at this point, the disciples did not understand. This had not happened yet. Yet, they wanted to believe. But it was so difficult for them that he would be delivered into the hands of his enemies. And who was it that delivered Jesus to the enemies? Our minds would, and as we read the scriptures, it says that the Jewish leadership, the authorities of the Jews, that they delivered Jesus unto his enemies. But in the book of Acts, it spells, the Apostle Paul writes unto actually, I believe it is it is Peter, Apostle Peter. This is part of his the Pentecost services that we refer to oftentimes. They had just received, we could say that heaven had visited earth. They heard a loud noise from the heaven, and the Holy Spirit descended onto those preacher brothers that were to be sent to speak of Jesus and to speak of God's Word. And Peter then explains of Pentecost, and he says to those that are listening that, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." So it is not as if God did not know what would happen to his son. God was fully aware of the crucifixion that was ahead and that his son was to die for the sins that we commit, for the sins that had been committed before, thousands of years before Jesus died, and also in the days to come, that is, in our future. And we also, during Easter especially, we are reminded that he willingly and quietly gave up his ghost and died. This does not make any logical sense to our minds. But with faith, there is no reason. There is no room for reason. I believe it says in the scriptures that the Spirit of God, it is foolishness unto our minds, onto the carnal mind. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. The disciples didn't understand when Jesus told them that he will be delivered unto the Gentiles, be mocked, spitefully entreated and spitted upon, and that he would be killed. They didn't understand, and I don't know why they didn't understand. Maybe God wanted to shield them in some ways. But nevertheless, they did not understand. But even though they did not understand, just like with us, there is so little that we do understand. Jesus knew their hearts. He did not chase them away. He was fully aware that they would not understand, but yet they were close to him. They were dear to him. They were his children. And so it is also with us. There are so many things that we do not even grasp. We can't even begin to comprehend. But yet, we are near and dear and precious to God. In many ways, disciples were just like us. Perhaps later in their life, they were able to understand after it had taken place. The Spirit of God had opened their eyes to what had happened, to more knowledge as it was needed. We remember the happenings after Easter when those two men were walking on the road to Emmaus, talking about what had happened. Jesus had just been crucified. And Jesus approached them, but they did not know that it was Jesus. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus was hidden from them. Their eyes were scaled over to somehow that they did not see that it was Jesus. But yet they saw a man come and talk to them. And he asked that, "What are you talking about?" So they explained what had happened. And they were so interested in the conversation, the two men and Jesus. And as they were getting closer, they invited him to come and eat, to stay with us for a little while. They really liked this man that they were talking to. And Jesus stayed there, and when he broke bread to eat, the scriptures say that their eyes were opened and they remembered who he was. So it is God's Spirit that opens our understanding, our heart, to whatever we are capable of understanding and believing. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. So here Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem with a large group of people that is following him. Some of them followed him because they believed what Jesus preached. They wanted to be close to him at all times. But also there were those that had yet not repented from their sins. And then there were those that only followed him because they were curious as to what he would do, or that they would catch him say something wrong that would, and that way they would be able to catch a mistake that Jesus did. But the Bible clearly says that he was perfect in every way. He never made a mistake. We can imagine that this man that was by the wayside, that it was as a regular day for him. He woke up and his day was about to begin. He knew that he would have to go and beg for food for that day, and went to his normal spot there by the city gates to receive food for that day. So as he was sitting there, the city came to life. People began to move, and he heard some noise that was approaching. Maybe this was a little bit different for him. And I'm sure that even us, if we would close our eyes and only would be able to hear, we would be able to detect if it's one person or if it's a large crowd that is walking past. And this man was able to sense that as well. So as this crowd was approaching, he was reaching out to somebody, whoever happened to be the closest to him, and he asked, what is going on? And they explained this person that was that he asked. He said that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He did not call Jesus a Savior. I don't know if this man was a believer or not, but we more than likely he was not, and in this context, it doesn't matter whether he was or not. But he said that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And from the response of this blind man, we can sense, or we know, that he had heard of Jesus. He had heard of his teaching, and he knew that this man, he is the Son of God. He is my Savior. He longed for peace. Much sin had attached to this point. And as the noise came closer and closer, this was the chance of a lifetime for him. Jesus was walking. Jesus was about to walk right by him. So he told, though, as they were walking by, he said, and he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Maybe this man thought that this moment would never come again. If I don't confess that I want to believe my sins forgiven at this time, this moment would never come again. So he cried out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. He had courage to cry out a very important and life-changing sentence so that Jesus was able to hear. (Clears throat) But we also can see that from his situation, he would have liked to change his situation himself. He wanted to become a child of God. This must have been something that was bothering him. His conscience was reminding him that you are living in sin. You have much sin that you need to put away. But as we heard this morning, the theme for this Sunday is prayer and faith. He could not help himself in his situation. We can also read from the pages of the Bible of the Good Samaritan as he came to that one man who was beaten by the wayside. Sure, that man wanted to help himself, but he couldn't. Only Jesus and those who have the Holy Spirit that was given to the rest of the mankind that were chosen by God, that Pentecost, those can preach the forgiveness of sins to those that are needy. But we also know that he was dead in his sins had he not been preached the forgiveness of sins. And we are no different children of God today. If there was no forgiveness, we would be dead in our sins as well. And again, we were reminded this morning of how a precious treasure it is that we have these dear escorts around us. We have so many of them in our area where we live that we can believe our sins forgiven and ask for the gospel from the brothers and sisters in faith. And they which went before him rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, "Thou son of David, have mercy upon me." Whatever it was that this man did, however it was that he acted, there were some that did not like it. Acted as if he was disturbing the peace, disturbing this journey that Jesus and his followers, what they were heading for, that you should be quiet, don't make this big scene, that this is Jesus of Nazareth that you are speaking to. Stay back. But this man did not stop. For God had called him into his kingdom. So he cried that, "Thou son of David, have mercy upon me." And then it says that Jesus stood. If you look in this middle portion of the Bible, it says that there is a notation on there that says that Jesus stopped. Those that are in great need, there is nothing that is more important to God than that you would receive your sins forgiven. Those that are greatly distressed over sin, whether it be small or big. But in this man's case, he had been living for a very long time. His conscience was bothering him. So, of course, Jesus stopped. On his way to his crucifixion in Jerusalem. Nothing was more important than to stop by this poor man who could not even support himself, but was forced to beg for his food. Yet he was so important to God that God's Son stopped to take care of this desperate and needy person. He stopped for this hungry and poor soul who was in need of forgiveness. Sometimes we may think that Jesus is this compassionate, loving, caring person, which he is. And God is judgmental, harsh, quick to act. But we know that Jesus was God in the second person. God's nature is manifested in his Son, Jesus. So, when we look at it in this way, we can see, and we must say, that we have a loving God. We have a caring God. He does not even let these beggars that are begging for grace to be left alone. And then Jesus said to this man, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee." Now this beggar, he had been dead in his sins, unable to help himself. But when he had been preached the forgiveness of sins, he was now a child of God. I don't know how much longer he lived. Perhaps he was an old man, I don't know. But within an instant, he was a child of darkness that was transformed into a child of light. He was doomed to die in his sins, unable to help himself. But the forgiveness of sins helped him over the threshold into the kingdom of God, and he was now a child of God. When Jesus was on the cross with those thieves on his left and on his right, one heart was hardened to the point that he mocked and ridiculed Jesus to the very end. But the other, who had lived tens of years, whatever sin had accumulated, he wanted to believe, and Jesus told him that today you will be with me in paradise. And he also received the forgiveness of sins and transformed into a child of light. It is that quickly that this happened. And there was nothing that they can bring to justify why they would deserve to be. This thief had no merit of himself. Nothing that he had done would justify why he would be deserving to, as Jesus said, be in paradise with him that day, but only to offer his own wretched and poor self. And nothing has changed to this day. Those are the same things that we offer unto God this evening, dear brother, dear sister, dear weary traveler. Uplift your poor self. Uplift your heart and receive the gospel. All your sins, all your faults, all your trespasses are forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious atonement blood, can I also believe my sins forgiven? And in the last two short verses, it says, And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight, and followed him, and glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw him, gave praises unto God. He was instantly able to see. Not only did he see his sinful nature, but he had now received the forgiveness of sins very personally from the Son of God himself. But also he received his physical sight, that he was no longer blind. And as I try to study this text, and when I came to this last portion, it is a very beautiful picture of this man who had no hope. There was no future for him in any way. But when Jesus preached him the forgiveness of sins, and the Holy Spirit opened his eyes, and he was able to see from his own natural eyes, and the first thing that he saw was the face of the Son of God. That is the awakening, or that's the picture that he, we could say, woke up to. That is the picture, that's what we also are journeying toward in God's kingdom. It's that when we close our eyes from this time, that when we keep a tender conscience and put sin away as it attaches, when Jesus comes again and our eyes are opened, it is our hope. It is our prayer that we will see Jesus when we awake. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.